Well, greetings to you and welcome. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It is your show on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Georgiani. We'll have a special guest on with us today. So we are asking you to sit this one out as far as phone calls, but definitely don't sit it out in terms of listening to the conversation, because we are going to have a very, I think, helpful discussion that is going to be beneficial to all of us, because it's a topic that touches upon every single one of our lives. And I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Georgiani, and we are going to welcome our special guest, Father Cedric Pesena. He is going to join us here on the broadcast. You may be familiar with him from his work on EWTN and so many other media outlets and retreats and conferences. Father Cedric is a preacher, a writer, and a producer for television and radio. He endeavors to help people come to know Jesus in a very deeply personal way. And God has also called him to make known the treasure that is the Holy Spirit. Father Cedric Ministries is a Roman Catholic ministry dedicated to reaching out to as many people as possible in as deep a way as possible with a life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Father Cedric, it is good to have you with us here on the, welcome back to the program, I should say. You've been with us before. Welcome back.
Hey, Jerry and Debbie, thank you so much for having me this morning, and a great big welcome to all the listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Father Cedric. We're so glad you could visit us again on Take Two. The Take Two family absolutely loves when you come on and share with us about different topics. And today we're going to be talking about suffering, because you just got done writing a book of your own journey, right? It's in the book, Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering. And it's coming out next week, and people are pre-ordering it already. It's incredible. All of your books are amazing. But Father, this is about your own journey you put in this book, Thorns Have Roses. Tell us about it. Let's get started. Let's go deep into understanding suffering and having suffering work for us rather than against us. Jerry and I are really big on that. We have done many shows on that, Father, and we really think that it's necessary in this day and age when people are faced with just unbelievable amounts of suffering.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's going through something, and I want to try to give perspective to that, try to give meaning, because I've discovered in my own life, if you have meaning for your suffering, you can not only endure it, but good will come out of it. Thus the title, Thorns Have Roses. Some people say roses have thorns. I say thorns have roses. That means the good that can come out of your thorns, out of your suffering, out of your pain. And it's really important not to waste your suffering. You can see more through a teardrop than you can through a telescope. And I've had a lot of teardrops in my life, nothing major like a heart surgery or something like cancer, but some people that I know are going through these things, and they're all looking for perspective. They're saying, why is God doing this to me? And what does it mean? And how can I get out of it? And I offer lots of perspectives about your suffering and the meaning that you're going through. And if you can have meaning, you can endure, and you can grow, and you can see what God is doing. Quick story about Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychiatrist, psychologist, held in Nazi Germany in a concentration camp. And he saw the worst of humanity, giving up, dying. But because he had hope, he was able to endure. And that was the meaning that he had, was he held out hope that he would see his wife again. And because he had that hope, he had meaning. And because of that meaning, he was able to endure that Nazi concentration camp. In the same way, as long as you have meaning, you can have hope, and hope will bring you new strength and endurance. So yes, let's talk about suffering, and I want to break it open for all your listeners.
Good. Well, Father, you mentioned the word meaning several times, and I would like you to maybe just touch upon that for another minute or two before our first break. Where does that meaning come from? You mentioned God, of course, and we as believers in God, we understand that only our faith in God and our relationship with Him is where we can find meaning in suffering. Talk about that again for just a second.
Yes, meaning, and I explain this in the book. By the way, it's the meaning of your suffering, not just suffering in general. And I give perspectives, but it's only you that can really come to your own personal meaning. And I really try to make it personal by sharing my own sufferings and talking about the sufferings of others. And I talk a lot about the Bible, but biblical perspectives on suffering, but meaning is the significance or the value that you attach to your own life. Again, it's the value, the significance that you attach to your own sufferings. For example, say you meet somebody at a party and they become your spouse in the future. Well, that party had no meaning other than you meeting your spouse. If you were to say, well, what was the meaning of that party? Oh, just to have a good time, I guess. But hey, I met my spouse there. That party had amazing meaning. Same way with sufferings. What's the meaning of your arthritis? Oh, I don't think it has any meaning. But if you attach a perspective to it, like, you know, it's made me really rely upon God. I've had to come to God to help me through this. And I've gotten closer to God in my arthritis. I have a seminarian friend of mine. I went through the seminary with him. His name is George, and he's a Filipino. Now he left the seminary, became a businessman, and now he's 70 years old. And he told me that he has prostate cancer. And he's going through chemo, he's going through radiation. And he says, Cedric, I have to tell you, this whole trial has brought me closer to God. And I hear that over and over again from people that are going through terrible things like cancer or heart surgeries. A close benefactor of mine lives right down the street here, just went through triple bypass. I anointed him, visited him in the hospital. And really, it makes you rely upon God, trust in God. That's one of the major points in my book, that you can grow in your trust in God through your suffering. So yes, suffering has meaning, and I will break that open in the book, give you about 20 different meanings that you can have from your sufferings. But again, you have to apply it to your own life.
Wow. The book is Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering, and you can find it at fathercedric.org. So, Father, we're going to hit the pause button in just a moment. When we come back, I'd like to ask you for you to pick up where you left off about why now did you write the book?
So good to have you with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. It is a pre-recorded broadcast, and we thank you for tuning in, taking part of your day to be with us. We love the Take Two family. We're just simply asking you not to call today because it is, like I said, it's a tape broadcast, but we're having already off to a great start in our conversation with Father Cedric Bazania. He is a passionist priest, and we're talking about his latest book, Thorns Have Roses, and we're going to talk to Father Cedric about the timing of the book and why he decided on that topic right now. Before we do that, I just want to mention a couple of other things in the EWTN religious catalog. One is The Spiritual Legacy of Fulton Sheen. You can encounter gripping stories of Archbishop Sheen's uncanny ability to read hearts, win back the wandering, and draw even non-Catholics to Christ, sometimes through a single conversation. And then Pope Leo XIV, The Election of a Pope in Pictures. It's a commemorative volume with powerful photographs and profound reflections on each step of this historic moment, from the 9 days of mourning Pope Francis through the hidden duties of the Carmelengo and the College of Cardinals to the white smoke that signals a new dawn for Christ's Church. Pope Leo XIV, Election of a Pope in Pictures, and The Spiritual Legacy of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, both available now at EWTNRC.com.
Okay, so Father, let's pick up where we left off before the break. As to why the timing of this book, why now, and what do you want all of us to gain from it?
Well, in the book, I talk about the fact that I have, quote, skin in the game, which means that I have gone through a multitude of sufferings. Nothing like cancer or heart surgery, but lots of things emotionally, spiritually, physically, relationally. By the way, I try to cover all those areas in the book, and I do cover all those bases. And so I strive for meaning in my own life. So I've gotten a lot out of that. And I wanted to help people to understand their meaning, because as a minister, and I've been a priest now for 35 years. I'm an itinerant preacher. I give parish missions. And I go to all these places and I meet people that are suffering and going through such trials and tribulations. They think God is mad at them. They think God is punishing them. And I want to try to give them perspective. And the other thing is, you're asking me why I wrote the book. Number one, because of me. Number two, because of people. And number three, because I'm a passionist. A passionist religious is somebody who vows themselves to God with the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And our first vow is a vow to remember and proclaim the passion. The word passion means suffering. Jesus went through abominable sufferings for us. And I want to try to help people get perspective on their sufferings. That's my vow. And I talk about that in the book. It's my 26th book to date. And I think it's my most important one, because it's really, really going to help people, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, agnostic, atheistic, it will help you to understand. In fact, I talk about atheists and agnostics in the book, and I talk about other, quote, denominations or religions. And what I say is things like Muslims and Buddhists and Islam, as I was saying, and even agnostics and atheists, they see suffering as something that needs to be transcended, try to get away from it, where Catholics and Christians see suffering as something that needs to be transformative. Suffering in our life can transform us, shape our character, form us. God is at work through the suffering. It's not something so much to be pushed aside. I'm talking about inadvertent suffering. Of course, if you have a headache, take an aspirin, try to go to the doctor, try to alleviate your suffering, get the operation if you have to. But the unavoidable suffering that you go through, God is at work in that, and allow him to transform you. As I said, you can see more through a teardrop than you can through a telescope, and don't waste your suffering. So yeah, I've got skin in the game.
Well, Father Cedric, you mentioned a number of types or forms of suffering in the book.
Yes,
I'd like
absolutely.
You to touch upon some of those. And just, you know, for me, I've been through two roughly 1 year periods of deep depression in my life. And I said during those times, I said, you know, I would take any physical suffering over this. And I, you know, whether or not that was true or not, I haven't had the opportunity to find out. But talk about the fact that, you know, not all suffering is physical. You know, there's spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. Talk about some of the different forms or types of suffering that you mentioned in the book.
Well, I do talk about depression. I talk about loneliness. I've had this big battle with fear. Mm. And it happened in the seminary, where I just came out of my high school and came out of a secular background in Massachusetts. And here I am trying to become a priest and being thrust in the middle of all these people and having to speak in front of scholars and all this. And I would suffer panic attacks. I was so afraid. I had headaches. I had stomach aches. But what I discovered in the midst of all that, God didn't necessarily take it away. And he doesn't do that with depression either. But he's with you in a new way. And I stress this in the book. When I talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, yes, you can find it up on Mount Tabor when he's transfigured and you see his glory, but you also see it in the valley as you're going through, and he goes through with you. I fear no evil because you are with me with your rod and your staff that comfort me, and you are with me all the days of my life. He's so faithful to be with you, and there's a new attachment, a new union that happens in the depression, in the fear. Now, but let me say this. He has helped me to face my fears. He hasn't taken it away. He's helped me to face the panic, and I've had to do it innumerable times. And that has gotten me to where I am today, where I'm on television, radio. I preach in front of thousands of people, because it's called desensitization. And I would never have been able to do that alone. But because I know that God is with me, and I've learned how to trust, I have come to a great amount of victory. Same with depression. Depression is a terrible mental illness, and I get that. And you don't just tell people, oh, pat them on the back and it'll get better. No, no, you have to journey through it. And you might say, well, why doesn't God take it away? Well, God walks with you in it. And when he's with you in it, you come to know who he is in the midst of the suffering. And Jerry, it sounds like you've come to some victory in your life after those 2 years. And I'm sure it's because God was with you and you relied upon God and you sense God's strength. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. You know, it's like, you know, I heard somebody, a quote one time, somebody said, you know, depression lies to you. And one of the lies it tells you is it's never going to end. And so it really is. It's not only a day by day thing. It's a minute by minute battle just to hang on, especially to the faith and trust in the Lord that he is going to, you know, someday, you know, alleviate this. And thanks be to God, both times I've come out of it and I'm in a good place now. But you're absolutely right. You know, it's just you're kind of hanging on by your fingernails sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's many other kinds of suffering. I talk about mental illness, of course, and emotional suffering, spiritual suffering. You can feel in a desolation at times instead of having consolation. For example, our founder, St. Paul of the Cross, he lived to be 81 years old. He was a mystic. He had visions of God, Jesus, early in his life. And then as he went on in his 50s, 60s, 70s, and into his 80s, that was withdrawn from him. But what makes him a saint is he was able to relate to other people that were going through desolation, but he didn't give up. It wasn't just all about feelings. He loved God even though he didn't feel it, per se. And he learned trust apart from feelings. So sometimes God will actually withdraw the consolation, withdraw the feelings, so that you will love him, not the feelings. So that's spiritual. And then, of course, there's physical, there's emotional, there's relational. I do talk about codependence and relational suffering. And then I just wanted to share a little bit about addictions. Here at our retreat center in Houston, Holy Name Retreat Center, we're a mecca for the 12-step program. It's interesting when I talk about the meaning of sufferings, it's interesting how a person will come into recovery. They come into recovery not because they're doing great and they're happy and they're feeling good, but because they've suffered. They may have some type of a bottoming out. Somebody might confront them about their behavior. They could have some kind of an affliction that they realize that the drinking isn't doing it, or the drugging or the gambling or the sex. And so they come into recovery. So really suffering leads them, the meaning of their suffering leads them to recovery. So I really believe with all my heart, thorns have roses in every dimension of our life.
Wow. We're speaking with our wonderful friend of Take Two's, Father Cedric Pazania, and he visits us when he can. He's super busy writing books and being on radio and television. But when he visits Take Two, we love it because he discusses these topics in a way that we can remember them, we can learn, and we can grow. And that's what Take Two's all about. So his newest book that's coming out next week, Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering, and you can pre-order it on his website, fathercedric.org. Now, I know, Father, we're going to discuss more of what's in the book and why you wrote the book for all of us and your journey. But, Father, let's just a real simple, basic question on this. Why is it that some people seem to have, like, an overwhelming amount of suffering in their life? Everywhere they turn, there's something that they're sad, or there's a loss or betrayal, or like you said, addiction or something of that nature. And then others seem to go through life kind of scot-free. What's the deal with that, Father?
Well, that brings me to the book of Job, Debbie. Why did Job have to go through all these different things? In fact, people were telling him, oh, you must have sinned in some way because you have all these sufferings. Book of Job in the Old Testament that I'm talking about, wisdom literature. And his own wife said to Job, curse God and die. I mean, you're beyond redemption. And Job replied like this. He goes, I know my Redeemer lives. Now, why do some people have a lot of suffering and some people not so much? That's one of those mysteries. I read a book called Lessons from the School of Suffering by a priest in Cincinnati, Father Jim Willig. Father Jim Willig contacted renal cancer and passed away at the age of 49 years old. And he was a beloved pastor, great preacher, and he documented his sufferings in his book, Lessons from the School of Suffering, Father Jim Willig. And basically what he says is suffering is a mystery. It brought him to a deeper relationship with God as he went through the whole thing, and then he passed away. But he said, and I use this quote in my book, some things we will never know this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. Some things we will never know this side of heaven. We have to be comfortable with mystery because there is mystery. We don't know everything that's going to happen. We don't know the whys of everything, but some things we do know, and we can gain meaning from biblical meaning from our and perspective from our sufferings. And I want to concentrate on that. But there are a lot of mysteries in life. One of the things I say in my book, I kind of chuckle. It's like some women that want to have babies can't. Other women that don't want to have babies do. So It doesn't make any sense. There's why are children born with Down syndrome or SIDS disease where they die in, right after being born, or all these different things. Why? We don't know these things this side of heaven, but it invites us to trust God. And as I say in quotations, even though we learn to trust, trust is a major foundation of this book on suffering.
Father, we've got about 2 minutes before we get our next break, and then we'll continue our conversation. Father Cedric Vizania is with us here. He's the author of 26 books now. His latest is Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering. Going into the break, Father, real quickly, if you could just touch on what is spiritual suffering? I think of spiritual, when I hear spiritual, I think, well, is that the same as emotional, mental, psychological? You obviously differentiate that from these other forms of suffering. So what is spiritual suffering?
Spiritual suffering is feeling like your prayer is not being heard, feeling like you're having desolation, feeling like you're doubting God. I talk to people, I won't say all the time, but people that go to church and they tell me, Father, I go to church and I go through the motions and I even try reading the Bible, but I have all these doubts. And I do talk a lot about faith in the book, but that's a spiritual suffering. And it doesn't mean that you're not saved, and it doesn't mean that you're going to go to hell. It just means that, yeah, God may have taken away some of that consolation so that you will rely upon him even more. And blessed are those who believe without seeing. I quote that quite a bit. That's from the Gospel of John. We don't always have to have consolation and feelings. So yes, that is a major form of suffering. And I think the ultimate suffering is atheistic type people, agnostic type people. They are suffering spiritually. They don't know God.
Yeah. Wow. We're going to hit the pause button here again and come right back with our taped broadcast. This is a pre-record on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Thank you, Take Two family, so much for listening today. We appreciate that. Always get inspired and uplifted by Father Cedric Vizania, and we're going to continue our conversation about suffering here momentarily on EWTN Radio. Thanks to our producer, Michael McCall, for putting this program together. He does a great job for us every day. The show team for us is taking the day off, the call screeners and the social media folks. But we're going to continue this conversation, like I said, in just a minute. We're going to delve more deeply into Father Cedric's latest book, Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering. We're going to talk about growing older versus getting older. We're going to talk about grief, how we can grieve well, how we can develop a godly attitude in suffering, and so much more. So stay with us right here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio.
Okay, we are back with our wonderful friend, Father Cedric Vizania, and this is a pre-recorded broadcast just for the Take Two family. So sit back and listen and learn, because Father is diving into his newest release, his newest book, Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering. And Father, right before the break, Jerry was sharing that possibly you could get into how to properly grieve. Could you share with us, like, grief is around us, sadness, sorrow, loss, and people go through the grieving process in all different ways. And do you share that in the book, or can you share that with us now?
Yes, that's one of the sufferings that many people are going through, especially older people. They've lost their spouse, lost a child, lost a friend, and it's hard, and it thrusts you into an emotional state called grieving. And we grieve with all kinds of different ways. As you said, everybody grieves a little bit differently, but there are similarities. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book called On Grief and Grieving that's very powerful. She talks about the different stages like shock and denial and anger. And when I tell people to grieve well, what I mean is allow yourself to go through the stages, realize that you're human, and don't stay stuck. Keep moving. I remember when I lost my mom and dad, I pledged to myself, Cedric, you got to live your life. Don't stay stuck. It's going to be hard to be without them, but they would want you to live the best that you can. So don't get stuck in anger. Don't get stuck in feeling pity or self-pity. Just keep moving. And biblically, I think the greatest thing that I've ever learned about grieving is this. Paul wrote the people in Thessalonica, and he said, we don't grieve like the rest of the world without hope. We believe that Jesus is going to raise us up, that there will be a great reunion. We have a living hope, and it's hope to me, and we're celebrating that Jubilee year of hope right now. We are in the midst of Advent, a season of hope. It's hope that we will one day be together in heaven before God with our loved ones that will keep us going forward. I believe that I will have a great reunion with my mom and dad, and pray for them at Mass, pray for them at other times. And yeah, we have a living hope, and that lifts up your heart, that buoys up your spirit so you don't have to stay stuck. So I talk a little bit about that in the book. Then I also talk about this whole area about getting older and growing older. Getting older is mandatory. Growing older is optional. And what I mean by that is that we're all getting older, but not everybody's growing older. And I think that that's one of the functions, if you will, of suffering. They temper us. They bring character. They bring a positive attitude. It brings endurance. We have to endure in faith, hope, and love. And that's part of growing older. Having a positive attitude, being compassionate. By the way, the word compassionate means to suffer with. No matter what type of suffering you have, you can be compassionate for somebody else that may not even be suffering in the same way you are, because your suffering will give you compassion for their suffering. And I have a lot of compassion for people that are grieving, because I've lost my mom and dad, and I've lost community members, and I've lost friends. But yeah, whatever you're going through can help you to grow, to develop virtue, and to move forward. So yes, I cover, I think, all, in fact, my editors, I have a married couple who edited my book, and they're continuing to edit it for the second version. I said to them, I said, did I cover all the bases in this book? And the man said, Father, you have covered bases I didn't even know were on the playing field. So I'm real happy about that, because I really did try to cover spiritual and physical and emotional and relational and all the different mental sufferings that we go through, and give perspective, give meanings to that. And I've already talked about compassion, character development, endurance, union with Christ. There's so many different meanings to our suffering. You don't just go through suffering. I'm going to say that again. Don't waste your suffering. It has value. It has meaning. And if you miss the meaning of your suffering, you're going to miss what God is doing in your life right now through the suffering. And I talk about in the book, does God give us suffering? That's something that a lot of people want to know. And I would say this, all of the saints in the Catholic Church, all of the saints, not just a few, all of them have suffered, and many of them have suffered greatly. Many of the saints talk about seeing their suffering as coming from God, who is sovereign. And I get that, and I would agree with that to a certain point. But I talk in the book about the problem of evil. And that suffering comes not necessarily from the hand of God, but because we are a fallen race. And if you want to blame anybody about the suffering that you're going through, don't blame God. Blame the evil one who is directly and indirectly responsible for the sufferings of our earth and the sufferings that people are going through. And also blame yourself, because we are responsible. And sometimes we attract discipline and punishment to our own life because of our sinfulness. Let's admit it. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews, talks about discipline, talks about punishment. And yes, there is some of that, but not all of that. So it's a combination of different things. It's a whole kaleidoscope of different reasons, but I try to really distill it in my book.
Well, if you just tuned in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, we're talking with Father Cedric Pazania. He is the author of 26 books. Now we're discussing his latest. It's called Thorns Have Roses, The Meaning of Your Suffering. You'll also see Father Cedric on EWTN and many other radio and television outlets. And Father, look, I want to talk for a little, have you get into this for just a second. And that is, you talked about being in the suffering, letting it, as Debbie said at the start of the show, letting it work for you, not against you. So while we're experiencing suffering, make use of that, offer it back to the Lord. But I think all three of us on this conversation right now can say that the sufferings we've been through previously in life have made us perhaps better and more able to convey God's love and mercy and empathy to those that we are called to minister to. Would you say that has been your experience?
Yes, and I want to explain that because I think the greatest compliment I get about my preaching and my television and radio presentations, Father Cedric, you're one of us, you're real, mm-hmm. and you aren't up on a pedestal somewhere. And I just want to put in a quick pitch for my television program on EWTN. It's Sunday mornings at 9:30 Eastern Time, EWTN TV. My radio program is Sunday evening, 8:30 p.m. on EWTN. That's Eastern Time. I hope you'll watch it. And I do have an 844 number if you want to order that book, 844-328-4372. Go to my website, fathercedric.org. And I wanted to tell the story when I talk about being real. And that's one of the meanings that our suffering has. We're not egotistical or prideful or up on a pedestal somewhere. We are just like everybody else. I may be a man of the cloth, but I'm cut of the same cloth as everybody else. And I tell the story about the Velveteen Rabbit. And I don't know if you've ever heard that story. But the Velveteen Rabbit, there was this young boy that had a rabbit, of stuffed rabbit. It had a velveteen cover. That's kind of a silky cover. And what happened is he loved that rabbit, but he got sick. And the doctor made him remove all of his toys, so he had to put it outside. And because he put it outside, the Velveteen Rabbit started to cry. It produced some tears. And the tears somehow transformed that Velveteen Rabbit into a real rabbit. And that's the story of the Velveteen Rabbit. And I like to say that our tears and our sufferings make us real. Mm. It takes us from being fake into somebody who's real. For example, when I give out communion, I don't stand up on the step. I get down with people and I look them in the eyes because I'm one with them. We are a priestly people. And yeah, our sufferings make us real. One thing I want to say before we conclude, and I know we're not done yet, but I wanted to squeeze this in. I'm dedicating this book to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I want to say this. She loved Jesus more than anyone ever has. And she suffered with and for Jesus as no one has or ever will. Mary, one of the titles of Mary, I'm talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. One of the titles of Mary is Mary, Queen of Roses. And it was a title that was given to her because a rose is symbolic for purity, love, and divinity. Now, the title of my book is Thorns Have Roses. And I'm trying to help people to understand that roses are like fruit on a tree, something that comes forth, comes out of your sufferings. Purity, love, oneness with God, those are beautiful roses that come forth from your suffering, if you can see the meaning of it, and you will have union with Christ. And so I dedicate this book to Mary because of her great sorrows, her great suffering. I know that in the past she's been called the co-redemptrix, and the church has really said not quite, but she has really, really, really suffered. And I do have a section in my book about Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, or Mother of Sorrows. One of our retreat centers in Los Angeles, a Passionist retreat center, we have a dedication to Our Lady of Sorrows, or Our Mother of Sorrows, and it's entitled Madre Dolorosa. That's the name of our retreat center. We have a beautiful garden dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows and the seven sufferings of Mary. For example, losing Jesus in the temple and having the flight into Egypt, and then the cross, of course, and the Pietà. And Mary really suffered. But the beautiful thing is that because of her sufferings, we have been redeemed. Because of Jesus' suffering, we have been redeemed by suffering. And I bring that out in the book. It's so crucial. It's so important that we understand that God used the penalty of our sin to redeem us. So I've gone a lot of different places here, but I'm trying to cover some of the mileage I have in this book.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, yeah, I really want to encourage those of you who are listening right now to get a hold of this book. It's called Thorns Have Roses. It's available at Father, F-R, Cedric, C-E-D-R-I-C, fathercedric.org. And Father, in a second, I'll have you repeat that 844 number that you gave in a moment.
Thank you.
Those of you who get a hold of this book, as we talked about, it might have been off the air before the show or when we started the show, but so many people are experiencing some form of suffering, maybe multiple forms of suffering right now.
Absolutely.
So Father, give that 844 number out again, because I understand, you know, people can order, right, even pre-order, and they'll get the book in time for Christmas. Is that right?
Yes, it's being printed right now. We're going to have it on the day that this is filmed. That this airs, the books will be shipped to us and we will get it out to you for Christmas. And if you email me through the website, I'll send you the ebook. It's 844-328-4372. And the operator, just tell them, I want that book on suffering. Thorns Have Roses. My website, fathercedric.org, you will see the book there. And I'll be glad to send it out to you. You are going to love this book because I know what you're going through, and I talk about this in my book, and I have been through so much in my life, and I want to help give you perspective. One quick meaning for suffering, I had a conversion because of my suffering, and I had a breakup with a girl. We talk about emotional sufferings. When I was going through college, I had a breakup with a girl. I was going through acne. I had some depression and some loneliness in my life. And that brought me to Christ. Think about the story of the prodigal son, for example. He's the life of the party. He's got all this money. He's got the inheritance. He's having a great time. Then the money runs out and he has to get a job. And he's slopping with the pigs in the mud. And this is the greatest story that Jesus ever told, arguably. He's slopping with the pigs in the mud and he comes to his senses. And what was it that brought him to his senses? His suffering. And suffering can literally bring you to conversion. It has in my life. And it can continue with ongoing conversion as we go through our trials. God is the potter. We are the clay. God is at work through our trials, our tribulations. James says, the letter of James, count it all joy when you meet various tribulations, because we know that God is at work in your life. And God is at work. And I want to give you these perspectives. I'm real excited about this. As a Passionist priest, I want to give you perspectives on your suffering. Maybe for a minute we can talk about the difference between cure and healing, because people are thinking to themselves, well, if God is at work in my life, then why aren't I cured? Mm. And let me just share that really quickly. I bring out in this book, there's, to me, a great perspective between cure and healing. And what I mean is that 99.99% of people are not cured physically, or even, as Jerry was talking about, he had depression for a couple of years, and I'm sure you were asking God to cure you of that, and it didn't happen. But healing is different. Healing isn't so much physical. It can be, but it's mostly spiritual. When the nutshell, the foundation of healing is a deepening of your relationship with God through trust. that you somehow come into a mystical communion with Christ. This is something that the saints, you read in the Blesseds, you read their lives, they will tell you that union with Christ and Christ crucified is achieved as you apply your sufferings to his suffering. And wow, you want to talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. That's how it happens.
So, Father Cedric, one of the many reasons that the Take Two family loves you is because of your pastoral approach, the way you deliver the message. It's so beautifully received. And so thank you. God definitely gifted you in that area. There's no doubt about it. And you can see it with your TV and radio programs and all of the books and everything you do as a Passionist priest. But Father, let me ask you this question. How do you communicate that to people who, when they have been diagnosed with something, immediately they're going for the physical cure, right? They want it to, they want to have a miracle, they want everything to vanish, everything go back to normal. They're healthy, they're wealthy, they're wise, you know, the whole nine yards. What do you say to people when they have been hit with something so, it's so painful, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, and you know, they want that cure. How do you approach it? Because I think that would really help us.
Yeah, first of all, Debbie, I cannot blame them. I mean, that's natural to want to be cured, to want to be whole again. We have to remember, and this is so sad, and I don't tell them this, but it's in the book. I try to, when I'm pastoral with a person, I listen to them. I don't try to give them all these answers, but What we have to understand is we are a fallen race and we are going to die. And one of the major points of this book is our suffering is a preparation for our meeting God. It can sanctify us, make us holy, help us, form us. And we have to let God do that work. Now, when a person asks me, and this is your question, when a person asks me, you know, why aren't I cured and that whole thing, the anointing of the sick, which I anoint a number of people that are in some dire situations, talks about courage, consolation, strength, finding God in your pain. And that's healing. And I say it very gently, and I lay hands gently and try to be a presence of Christ to them. And that's everything. And the bottom line is, Debbie, not everybody's going to be cured. Most people aren't going to be cured. We are going to die. Does that mean that God has forsaken us? No. I mean, we are human beings. We are a fallen race. This is going to happen to us all. We have to accept this. And some things we are just not going to know this side of heaven. But the church offers us, for example, it used to be a viaticum or the communion for the journey, strength for the journey. And that's why we have the sacraments.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're running close to the end of the program here. We've got a few more minutes with Father Cedric Pazania. I just want to mention before we continue along here that you can listen to Open Line Friday this afternoon, 3 Eastern time, with Colin Donovan answering all of your questions about the Catholic faith, what we believe, what we do, our disciplines, our doctrines, and everything Catholic. That's Open Line Friday this afternoon at 3 Eastern time with Colin Donovan here on EWTN Radio.
So, Jerry, real quickly, I know you and I talked about this before we got set with Father Cedric for this taping of the show, talking about Father, is this book, would this be good to give this book to somebody in the midst of suffering, or should you? It would be. Okay. I just want to make sure, because you don't want to make somebody's pain worse by reading, all sorts of things.
No, this is probably the main reason why I wrote it. I want to be healing for people that are going through, and everybody's going through something. So yes. Okay. And that's why people, I believe, are going to buy it. But I know we don't have much time, but can I just say that we're in the midst of the season of Advent. We just lit the first candle. The candles are all symbolic, and it has a meaning of hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I offer in this book, hope for something good here. I want to quote the book of Hebrews, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross." And what was the joy that was set before Jesus? Our salvation. He knew that his sufferings were going to save us. And he also knew that his sufferings and death was going to bring him back to heaven. So for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. And I want to say that for the joy that's set before us, we can endure our pain, because we know that it will eventually lead to our entrance into heaven. We can offer up our pain for others. We didn't even talk about that. It'll form us in character. It'll bring us closer to God. It will transform us. So endurance is important. And you can endure because you're not alone. God is with us.
And real quickly, Father, address this, because I've heard this many times, and I know Jerry has as well, because we've done the show where people have quoted the scripture that God's going to restore what the locusts have eaten and that type of thing. So bringing people back to a restoration, healing, back to where they were before the tragedy hit. Speak a little bit about that, because I think sometimes we quote these scripture passages, and so people hang on to them, which is wonderful, and it maybe keeps them going. But also, are they losing the deeper meaning of what they're going through?
Well, that's a great point, because I'm a preacher, and I'm a person of hope, and I offer hope to people. But I'm a realist, and that's why I say that 99.99% of people are not going to be cured. I've been in the charismatic renewal. I have seen people be cured. It's amazing. God sometimes works through that. Jesus was a cure person. He cured people. And that was so that his cures would point to him as the Son of God. The early Acts of the Apostles, there were all kinds of cures. The early church pointing to the message. Now, not so much so. Doesn't mean that God still doesn't cure. He does bring healing. I do not offer false hope. I offer people truth. I offer hope and I offer healing. Will God cure? Maybe. But I offer people that they will be healed, that God will be with them to strengthen them. Because as I talk about in the book, and I'm going to say this again, we are a fallen race. We are all going to suffer, and eventually we're all going to die. We don't want to hear that. We live in a death-denying culture, but our church is a death-defying church. We are going to be raised up. And that's the perspective that we have to have. I end this book with a whole chapter about hope. And that's what the season of Advent is all about. And I talk about heaven, and I talk about the glorified body, and I talk about no more suffering. And that's what we have to understand. It's not all about here on earth. God is preparing us for something more. And that's one of the roses, in fact, is probably the brightest and the reddest and the most fragrant rose out of our thorns.
Father, we've got in about our last 60 to 90 seconds. We're, like you mentioned, you alluded to us being in the season of Advent, heading into Christmas. It's all about, of course, the birth of Christ and preparing for that. But there are other things that, you know, that this season means to people, family, friends, loved ones. And for a lot of people, they're going into a lot of people experience, especially, you know, emotional, mental, psychological suffering this time of year, maybe missing loved ones and so forth. If you could, in about 60 seconds, offer them a word of hope going into this Advent season as it progresses and heading toward Christmas.
Yeah, I would say if you're grieving, Christmas and Thanksgiving is a very difficult time for a lot of people. And I want to offer you hope, the hope that God is with you and he's going to bring you through this, and you can gain trust as you go through. And then for those of you who are getting together with family and you start talking politics and you realize that they're not on the same side of the aisle as you, don't argue. Accept them the way they are. Try to love them and be strong. And during the season of Advent, we talk about the coming of Christ at the end of time. We talk about the coming of Christ at Christmas. But the early church talked about the middle coming. And the middle coming is the way that Jesus comes to us every day and meets us in the moment. And I hope he's meeting you in this moment right now as you listen to this program, this beautiful program about suffering and how your thorns can be turned into roses. And I pray that God will meet you as you read my book, as you listen to Debbie and Jerry on Take Two, and as you watch my television programs. Advent is all about hope, and hope is all about meeting God, experiencing God, and the future that God has for us. And may Almighty God bless you during this season of Advent, during this Jubilee year of hope, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Cedric Bazinga, thank you so much. Blessed Advent to you, and Christmas when that day does come for us here in just a few short weeks. Thank you, Take Two family, for being with us here. It's been a pre-recorded broadcast on EWTN Radio of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We'll be back live with you on Monday, and we look forward to having you join us then. Our topic on Monday is going to be, was there a time when you knew Mary was praying for you, helping you from heaven? Wonderful conversation coming up. Thanks to Michael McCall. I'm Jerry Usher for Debbie Georgiani. Have a beautiful and blessed day, everyone.